should as well pay tribute to all the teachers in the Sabbath school who so faithfully and diligently each week teach the children and those in the Bible classes as well. Your work is invaluable, and I know many times it goes unnoticed and goes unseen. Many ways it's behind the scenes, but it's a valuable work teaching the children in the things of God, and to the parents as well who teach them at home and instruct them. We appreciate all that you do in teaching our children the things of God. We're turning back again to Nehemiah chapter 2. As we said, we'll conclude our studies here in this second chapter this morning, and focusing especially on the second half of verse 18 and then through to the end of verse number 20. We started looking last Lord's Day morning at the subject of the rallying call to action, and we want to continue and conclude that this morning as we continue on in our studies in this chapter. So before we come to the Word of God, can we just still our hearts and ask for His help and for His presence? Heavenly Father, as we come to Thy Holy Word this morning, Lord, as we come to hear what God would have to say to our hearts, we realize just how much we need Thee. We need the help of the Lord. We need the help of the Spirit. So, Lord, we pray that You'll come and help us to rightly divide the Scriptures. Come and help us, Lord, to rightly understand what God would have to say to us. Come and teach us. Come and instruct us out of Thy Holy Word today. Lord, as we continue on looking at this man, Nehemiah, and the people with whom he labored, we ask, O God, that our hearts will be challenged and our hearts will be encouraged. Bless every heart, we pray. Lord, hide this preacher far behind the cross. And Lord, may none be seen save Jesus only. No voice be heard but the voice of God. So answer prayer. Continue on with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The work, it was vast, and the challenge, it was certainly great. Yet one man under God had risen to that challenge and was prepared to put his shoulder to the wheel and to see the work go forward. That man, of course, that we have been looking at, Nehemiah, he had felt the burden of the work, but he knew that he needed others to help him in that work of rebuilding and restoring. And while much is said and recorded about Nehemiah, yet this was by no means a one-man ministry. This was not a ministry that was exclusive just to Nehemiah. This was a ministry that, as we noticed last week, all the people got involved in. They all put their shoulders to the wheel as well. And there was a work for them all to do. It was different. And over the weeks that lie before, we will see that work, how it was varied and how it was different. Everyone had their own part to play in the building up again of the walls of Jerusalem. And so as Nehemiah rallied the people together, as he called them together, we saw there in verse 17, enlisting their support, standing before the people in sight of the ruins of the walls, in sight of the work that needed to be done, Nehemiah pointed to the people the work. He shows them the distress. He shows them the devastation that the city was in. And then he issues that appeal to them that we considered last week. At the end of verse 17, he says, "Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." Last week, we considered this rallying call to action. And we considered the first point, that the appeal that was made on the basis of the plight of the city, the plans of the Lord, and then the plea to the people. We want then to continue that same subject this morning, this rallying call to the people. And not only notice the appeal that was made, but as we look further into these verses, I want you to see as well with me here this morning the approval that was displayed. The approval that was displayed. After having made this call, this appeal to the people to come and work, Notice how the people responded to this rallying call to action. See how they approved of this project by their speedy and their willing response. We read of that at the end of verse 17. The end of verse 18. And they, that is the people, said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for this good work. They said, "Let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and work." You see, this was the approval that Nehemiah required. And on this approval and on this acceptance from the people, I believe we further see the will of God. God was working not only in the heart of Nehemiah, but God was also working in the heart of the people as they were sharing now in the vision for the work that lay before them. They were now enlisting themselves in this great task. This was the people rising up to join in the work that needed to be done. Nehemiah needed this support. He couldn't do it without the support and without the help of the people. And folks, today as we all together seek to build up the work of God and take the work of God forward in this community in which the Lord has placed us all, we appeal to you for your support as well. We need your commitment to the work of God and to the witness of God here in our own congregation in Sandown. We need your commitment and your dedication that together we might see the work go forward and the work advance. We need your commitment in the services. Lord's Day by Lord's Day, Thursday night by Thursday night, and other services as you can. We need the commitment and the support of God, God's people. Here were people in Nehemiah's day who were willing to stand up and be counted. Here were people who were looking to the future and seeking to rebuild in the present in order to preserve the work for future generations. They have been stirred up to see the need. They've been stirred up to see the real state of the work. They now saw the ruins like never they saw it before. And they were not content with how things were. And neither were they put off by the past, when the work of rebuilding had been attempted, but it had to come to an end. Now the people arose with a new zeal and a new vigor and a new enthusiasm for the work, a new vision for the work, and they stepped out in faith to do the work that needed to be done. Their approval of this work was enthusiastic, but their approval of this work as well, it was energetic. Because look at the end of verse 18. It says there, they strengthened their hands for this good work. They issued their approval. They said, "Let us rise." And then it says, they strengthened their hands for this good work. That word strengthen there, it means to fasten. It means to attach onto. It speaks of unity. It speaks of all the people together, coming together in a united fashion to do the work of God. And there was strength in their unity. And there is always strength in a united band of believers going forward under God. And they went energetically to do the work of God. They fastened themselves to the work. They fastened themselves to show their determination as to how they wanted to see the work advance. Dear believer, today can I call upon each one, fasten yourself here to the work of God in Sandown. Be energetic and be enthusiastic about the work. Just like the people in Nehemiah's day, may all of our hands be strengthened for the good work of God here in our own congregation. There is much work that needs to be done. There are many lives that have yet to be reached and won with the gospel. There are many homes that need to be reached, much prayer that still needs to be completed. We appeal to you to come and fasten yourselves and come attach yourselves to the work of God here enthusiastically and energetically. One translation of that last phrase there in verse 18 is that they vigorously set about the good work. They vigorously, such was their enthusiasm for the work, such was their vitality for the work, that they were vigorous in the work. They were looking forward to what God was going to do. They didn't know how it was all going to work out. They didn't have any big master plan as to what was going to be done, but they knew that the work needed to be done. They knew that the work needed to advance and to progress, and they were excited about what God was going to do. They set about this work with all of their hearts. Scripture commands us in Scripture, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." And in our own congregation here, as we seek to serve the Lord together with all of our might, with all of our commitment and dedication, let's be pleased to do what we can and do it with all our might unto the Lord. May God be pleased to give us all that determination. May God be pleased to give us all that strengthening of our hands to go forward as a united band of God's people, seeking to serve the Lord, seeking to be a witness for the Lord, seeking to do what we can for Him. You see, these people like Nehemiah, they were not overwhelmed by the immensity or by the greatness of the work that lay before them. They were not put off by the challenge of the work. Rather, with a united sense of purpose, they rose to the challenge. And they took that step of faith, believing this to be of God. And they set about the work of God, the approval that was displayed. They rose up and they strengthened their hands for this great work. But there's not only the approval that was displayed. I want you to see, as we come then into verse number 19, the antagonism that was encountered. You see, the devil soon stirred up the enemies. The devil soon stirred up the opposition. And as we've said in the past, folks, every opportunity that we seek to do for the Lord, the devil will make sure that he will oppose it all the way. Verse 19 details for us this antagonism, this opposition that Nehemiah encountered. As soon as the people had committed themselves to the work, and as soon as the people were dedicating themselves to the work, right away, the opposition came. Of course, these were people who had been busy in the past. We've noticed this opposition already in Nehemiah chapter 2. A few weeks back, we saw how that even right at the very start, when Nehemiah came, in the very first day to Jerusalem, and the devil had his agents there to stir up and to seek to oppose the work of God. Nehemiah and the people posed a threat to Satan. Because here, the people, they were determined to do something about the work. God had stirred them up. They had been convicted, and they had been challenged about the work. And they were going to do something about it, but now the devil was going to do what he could to oppose the work. As the people sought to see the name of the Lord advance and the name of the Lord lifted high and the work of God going forward, the devil came. And we should never be surprised when we attempt anything for the Lord. You should never be surprised when the opposition comes, because the devil will always seek to stir up opposition to those who stand alone for Christ. As we consider this antagonism, this opposition, let's notice the individuals here who are involved. We've already met some of them before. Verse 19, when Sambalat and the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian. We've already met Sambalat and Tobiah before in verse number 10. But now their ranks are increased. Someone has come and joined them, Geshem. The opposition is increasing. The first wave of attack didn't put Nehemiah off. And so what does the enemy do? The enemy ups the game. And the enemy stirs up others to join in the opposition, and the enemy rallies the opponent. You see, folks, when the efforts of God's people increase, the efforts of the enemy also increase. You've only got to look across our land and our province today. You stand up and be counted for the Lord, everybody and anybody will stand up and oppose you. All the enemies will come together, even those who perhaps hate each other. They hate the work of God more. And they will rise up and they will come and seek to oppose the work at every opportunity. You see, the more active you become in the work of God, the more active the enemy will become in opposing you in the work of God. Let's take a moment to look at these individuals in turn. Let's look at Sanballat. He was one of the governors of Samaria who had received the letters from the king. And Samaria was a rival to Judah. You see, what Nehemiah was planning to do would not have sat well with Sanballat. He would have seen it as a threat. And you know, whenever you go into the enemy's territory, it's always seen as a threat to the enemy. And when you seek to do anything for God and you seek to take ground from the enemy, they'll see it as a threat. And their hearts will be stirred up to attack the work. Putting together the two parts of the man's name here, Sanballat. The first part of his name, it means to hate and disguise, or to lift up in hatred. And then the second part of his name, Ballat, it means to swallow up, or to destroy, or to lie waste. And you put it all together, you see here, his name means that he was lifted up in hatred to try to swallow up and to try to destroy the work of God. And Sanballat lived up to his name. Because Sanballat did all that he could, all that he tried to do to rise up to destroy the work of God. And there are many Sanballats today. There are many Sanballats in this province of ours, those who will hate us in disguise. Sanballats today disguised as modernists. Sanballats today disguised as ecumenists, new evangelicals, charismatics, all being used and manipulated by the devil to attack the true church of Jesus Christ. And when you stand alone in the Word of God, and you stand alone by the standards of God's word, you can be sure the Sanballats will rise up to oppose you. It wasn't only Sanballat here, there's also Tobiah. He's described there in verse 19 as the servant, the Ammonite. He was a descendant of those people who came as a result of the sinful, incestuous actions of Lot many years previous. You can look at that in Genesis 19. But on the face of it, his name would put him in good standing because his name means the goodness of Jehovah. But it was a name, again disguised, which disguised the true intention of his heart. Outwardly, he appeared all right. But inwardly, he was stirred up by the devil. He was, we would call, a wolf in sheep's clothing. And today our land is littered and blighted with such. People today who would appear to be all right. Many even found in pulpits across this city and across this province and across this nation. And yet they're being used by the enemy to attack the work of God. And then there's Geshem. And his name means to shower or to rain violently. It speaks of a very bitter attack, a very sustained attack on the work. He was an Arabian and another one who was an avowed enemy of the work. And so together this trio of antagonists sought to stop the work. They were the agents of hell to try to cease the work from going any further. The individuals. But notice as well here their intimidation. If you read at the end of verse 19, it says, "They laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, 'What is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king?' Notice how these individuals sought to intimidate Nehemiah and the people of God. First of all, they made little of their efforts. It says there in verse 19, they laughed us to scorn. They made little of the servant of God. They made little of the people of God. They were so risen up in their arrogance and their pride that they sought to throw all their belittling comments towards the people. Verbal insults, verbal assaults on the people of God shows you just how much they despised the people. They showed such hatred and such hostility towards God's servant. They believed they were better. They believed that they were so much greater than Nehemiah and the people of God. And they wanted to embarrass the people. And they wanted to do what they could to try to pull down. And what did they do? They slandered. Their only form of defense was their tongue. The only weapon that they could use was their tongue, and they used it. The only arguments they could offer was resorting to laughing the people to scorn. They sought to intimidate by their words. Notice then how that intimidation continues in verse 19. Because they then question the motives of the people. What is this thing that you do? Will ye rebel against the king? What is this thing that you do? You're rebelling against the king here. Now what they were referring to there when they said they were rebelling against the king is that they were referring to the decree of the king when the work was stopped back in Ezra's time. Now I want you to turn with me, please, if you will, back to Ezra. And I want us to see exactly how these people were made out to be liars. In Ezra chapter 4, we see here that the work is stopped. Ezra chapter 4, just one book back, Ezra chapter 4. And the work is stopped here because, again, of the accusations of the enemy that they made to the king. Look at verse 13. Ezra chapter 4 and the verse 13. This is what the enemy says: be it known now unto the king that if this city be builded and the walls set up again, then they will not pay toll, tribute, and custom, so that thou shalt endamage the revenue of the kings. The enemies of Ezra and the people in their day said, well, if these people build up the work, they're not going to pay their dues to the king. Go on into verse 16. We certify the king that if this city be builded again and their walls set up by this means, thou shalt have no portion on this side of the river. In other words, king, your kingdom is under threat. All these accusations that were thrown against the people of God then, all these accusations of rebellion. And as a result, the work was stopped. Because come down to verse 21, Ezra chapter 4, verse 21. Give ye now commandment to cause these men to cease, and that this city be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me. There's the commandment given from the king that the work was to cease, the city would not be builded until another commandment shall be given from me. The enemies of the people of God then were accusing the people of being unfaithful, not doing things in the right manner, of being in rebellion to the decree of the king. But notice that little phrase, will you, at the end of verse 21. Ezra 4, until another commandment shall be given from me. The Persian monarchs, the Persian laws, they could never be altered or amended. But what the king did, Artaxerxes, in chapter 2 of Nehemiah, he was not altering that decree. He was not amending that decree. What he was doing, he was adding to it. He was giving, as we read there in Ezra 4:21, another commandment. So the people and Nehemiah were not rebelling against the king at all. Rather, they were complying with the wishes of the king, because the king had commanded that the walls be rebuilt. But of course, the enemies of the people didn't care about the truth. They only worry about the truth when it suits them, and they neglect the truth when it doesn't suit them. Nehemiah, far from rebelling against the king, as they were made accused of there at the end of verse 19 in Nehemiah 2, was actually complying with the royal commission. The enemies of the Lord never allow the truth to get in the way of a good lie and a good round of intimidation. The enemies of God's work are never concerned with the truth. Satan is never taken up with the truth, but will rather seek to slander the people of God and do anything that makes them feel superior and important. And that's still the tactics of the enemies of the people of God today. They're not worried about the truth. They will just say all sorts of things, and they don't care about it. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. And they're still prevalent today. They're still prevalent across our land and our nation today. As the true church of Jesus Christ stands up for what is right, there will still be Sanballats, Tobias, and Geshems to stand up and oppose. And as we go on into this book, you'll see that they didn't stop. They continue to make their accusations and their opposition very clear. But suffice to say again, that when you seek to do anything for God, and when you attempt any work for God, you can be sure of the attack of the enemy. The enemy will stir up his own agents to attack the work, the approval that was displayed, the antagonism that was encountered. But notice as well here the answer that then was given. Look at verse 20. Verse number 20. Nehemiah says, "Then answered I them and said unto them, The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye," speaking to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, "ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem." I love that verse. How did Nehemiah respond to this criticism? How did Nehemiah respond to the attack of the enemy? Nehemiah's answer there in verse number 20, it shows great faith and great conviction that what he was doing was right. Nehemiah, as we have seen, has done no wrong. Nehemiah is doing the will of God, doing the work of God. He is standing up for the cause and the honor of the Lord. And Nehemiah stood firm and stood strong in the face of the onslaught of the enemy. That verse 20 there, it rings with confidence. A confidence not in himself, but a confidence in the Lord. Nehemiah here in this verse shows, not only to the enemy, but to all around, that the people are in the will of God. This is what God wants them to do. This is the work of God. This was a step of faith, and God was going to reward them. God was going to bless them. Notice some things here about this answer. Notice his strong faith. Verse number 20 says, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us." Nehemiah is dismissing the attack of the enemy. He's not concerned with the attack of the enemy. He's not concerned about the abuse and the accusations that's thrown his way. Nehemiah has a strong faith in the Lord, a strong faith in the fact that he was doing right. This was the Lord's work. As we pointed out before, this was not Nehemiah's project. This was the Lord's project. This was what the Lord wanted him to do. This was why the Lord called him from the palace to Jerusalem. Nehemiah was convinced that although the work was hard, and although the work was going to be challenging, and the work at that stage was very small, yet the Lord was going to prosper the work. The enemies weren't fighting against Nehemiah. The enemies were fighting against the Lord God of heaven. And you know, every wicked, evil agent of hell, whether they have a clerical collar around their neck or not, who rises up to oppose the work of God, it's not the people of God they're attacking, it's against the Lord God of heaven. And what are they? What are they in the sight of God Almighty? But all too often, the Church of Christ, we can become afraid of the attack of the enemy. And the strong words and the verbal attacks, we can cower down, we can compromise, we can seek to accommodate the enemy. I believe today that the Church of Christ is in panic mode. Because the enemy's attacking so much, and the law of God has been set aside, even in our own province. And people who should know better, dismissing the law of God and the standards of God. And we can become concerned, and we can become into this panic mode and try to shy away. The enemy is becoming ever more vicious and ever more bold. And what does the church do? Rather than standing up, seeks to accommodate the enemy and seeks to compromise the truth. There was no compromising here in the part of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was going to do the work, and he had a firm conviction that God was going to bless the work. The Lord God of heaven was going to bless him, was going to prosper him in the work. He used that phrase way back in Nehemiah 1 and 5. What's he doing? He's lifting his eyes off the attack of the enemy, the small, puny-minded enemies, and lifting his eyes to the Lord, the greatness and the power of his God. He's a strong faith in the Lord. The Lord God of heaven will prosper us, and it doesn't matter where the attack may come from. It doesn't matter how the attack may come. But as well, there's not only a strong faith there, but as well in verse 20, there is a steadfast resolve. Because he says, therefore, we his servants will arise and build. Nehemiah is not put off. In fact, he's all the more determined. He's all the more resolved to do the work of God. Doesn't matter about the opposition. We're going to do the work of God. We're going to get involved in the work of God. And you see, folks, whenever the enemy comes and the enemy opposes, we must be all the more determined to stand firm. Nehemiah and the people had a strong faith and a strong conviction. And because of that strong faith, they had a steadfast resolve that nothing and no one was going to take them from the work. Nehemiah didn't enter into discussion or into dialogue or into debate with the enemies. He just got on with the work and let the Lord take care of the enemies. Notice the scathing rebuke there at the end of verse 20. Verse 20 says, the very end of this chapter, ye, speaking to the enemies, ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. What a scathing rebuke. You see, he wasn't going to allow the enemy to be a part of the work. He wasn't going to entertain the enemy. He wasn't going to entice Sambala, Tobiah, and Geshem. He wasn't going to try to bring them into the work. He just excluded them from the work and said, you've no portion, you've no right, you have no memorial in Jerusalem. This is God's work. For too long in our land and in our province, the church has been trying to bring in the enemy. For too long, the ecumenical movement which has blighted this land and this province of which we love, Protestant leaders and Protestant denominations, rather than standing up and separating themselves onto the gospel, what are they doing? They're seeking closer cooperation and closer union with the very enemies of the gospel. Nehemiah here is a classic example of how to deal with the enemy. You don't compromise with them. Because if they're allowed to be a part of the work, what will they do? They'll destroy the work. That's what they're about. Infiltration is the favorite ploy of the devil. And ministers today and churches today are joining hands and holding hands in sinful union with reprobate people rather than strengthening their hand for the work of God. Our denomination stood outside the camp of apostasy from its inception, and God forbid that we should ever try to enter into union with such people. God forbid that we should ever seek to undo the work, because the call to separation today is just as great as it's ever been. Well, Nehemiah could have been accused of being unloving and unsympathetic, but far from that. Nehemiah was loving. Nehemiah was faithful. Nehemiah was faithful to God. And it didn't matter what the enemies might say. Nehemiah had a great love for God. Nehemiah had a love and a desire for the honor and glory of God alone. And if the enemies of the work, who were filled with hatred, hatred for the cause of Christ, hatred for the work of God, if they were going to be a part of it, then the work would have been destroyed. Nehemiah didn't want such individuals involved in the work, and so he says in that scathing rebuke there, you have no portion, you have no right, you have no lasting legacy here in this work. What a rebuke. Nehemiah just got on with the work. It was a work that he had been called to. It was a work that he was sure that he was in the center of God's will concerning. And he doesn't try to appease the enemy. He just gets on with glorifying God by doing the work of God. So the stage is now set. And the plans have been made. The preparations, they're all now in place. And the people are enthused and excited about the work. And the enemy's denied any part of the work. The battle lines are now drawn. The sleeves are rolled up, and the hard work is about to commence. And we will see in the weeks that lie before. People of God today, in this part of the vineyard that God has placed us, as we face the future, and as a congregation we seek to press forward and go ahead in the work of God, the work will be great. The task of winning souls and reaching people with Christ is great. It is immense. It always has been. But may we all have such an excitement and such an enthusiasm about what God is going to do. Let's go forward in faith. Let's go forward believing that God is going to do great things for His honor and for His glory. Go forward united to build up the work of God, and to restore and to rebuild the ruins that are all around us. We say today in the words of the hymn writer that we in ourselves are nothing, a small and feeble host, nor have we aught of prowess wherein to make our boast. Our stronghold is Christ Jesus. His grace alone we plead. His name, our shield and banner, Himself just all we need. And when God's in the work, it doesn't matter what opposition we'll face and what agent of hell will be stirred up to oppose it. As we press forward, we can say with Nehemiah, the Lord God of heaven, He will prosper us. May God be pleased to prosper a congregation. God be pleased.